thank you for your blessings today. What a great day you've given us, Father. A chance to be here today. A chance to stand before you and praise your name. Father, thank you for the songs that were sung today, Father. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson that was brought and the things that we needed to be reminded of. Father, I just speak blessings on these two men today as they stand before you, share what you have given to them to share with us. Father, I'm so grateful and overwhelmed at your mercy for us, Father. Father, we just mess up so much. But Father, you love us unconditionally. Father, we thank you. Father, bless this service in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Today we're going to let Clark is going to get up and share with us what God has given him, and then he's going to turn it over to Tim to get to share what God has given to him. You know, it's unfortunate we only get one service a week to let people get up and share. You know, a lot of churches have Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. We just have this one service, so we want to give everybody a chance to get up and share that want to share. And I'm so grateful that Clark and Tim were so willing to stand up here and do this. I want you to be very attentive to what they have to say, because God has something for you to hear today. Clark.
You got it. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
I've waited a long time to stand up here and say, good morning, church.
Good morning, church.
Okay. I want to thank Pastor David for allowing me to come up and share with you some things that is on my mind, and I just feel like I want to talk about it. Truly the Lord has this message. Before I do, I want to thank all of you. I give all the praise to the Lord. I also give praise to Pastor David, and I praise you guys, everyone here. You know, the things that we go through, some call it a bad deal. I'm getting a bad deal, I'm getting this. But really, it's not a bad deal. It's what was planned for you in the beginning. I found one guy, Job. Job went through impossible things that you and me, we couldn't have took. We couldn't even say a word. I'm going to be reading to you today in Job, from about the first chapter to the ninth chapter, if we make that far. Okay. Okay, if we go to the Bible, talking about Job, you know, Job began with a heavenly debate. The between God and Satan. God turned his favorite, person, we can even say loved one, that he turned over to the devil. For the devil wanted to make these moves as he go along. Job and his friends, they came on board. Read from chapter 1. Chapter 1, first verse. There was a man in the land of Oz, whose name was Job, and upright, and one that feared God and evil. You know, we go through things, and on this thing we have complained about is what it's doing to us, how it's doing us, not thinking that, you know, it was meant to be. It was meant to be from the beginning. Every path we walk is already planned. You can't change what has already been planned. Read on, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. That in itself is a blessing. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke, and 500 sheep, and a very great household. He had the greatest household. Job was like, now, he was like a tree now. He had all, everything of comfort, luxury, he had it all. Back in them days, you know, luxury wasn't driving a Cadillac or flying a jet plane, but just all the things that he had made him a great person. And he was one of God's children. Okay, down in 4. And his son went and feasted in their house, every one his day, and sent a call for the 3 sisters to eat and drink. And it was so, when the day of the fasting were gone about, that Job sent sacrifice them and rose up early in the morning. Could you see Job was such a compassionate man? He gave blessings for his family. He offered everything he could for the sin, for their sins, the one that they may have been carrying around. He did all those great things. Rising up early in the morning and often is a great thing in itself. But that's just how much Job loved God. He wanted to protect his children by by giving them everything that they wanted, he would, let me see, Joe was such a person. I just can't tell you how good of a person Joe really was. But Joe went through things. Joe went through a lot of things. And he did it without cursing the Lord. I hear a lot of people today that bad things is not a hug. You know, I got a little thing here from Joel Osteen. Joel said, God knows there'll be unfair situations. That's why he already arranged. He already arranged. He knows it's going to happen. And came back for every step back, vindication for every disappointment. Again, and Job lost his family, all his livestock. He lost everything. God's key to his heart that he had opened up with our Heavenly Father. He opened up that heart, and he also opened up a lot of other things also. Even with all the trouble Job was having, he still honored God. He still did things that a Christian's supposed to do.
Amen.
You know, it's in Exodus 14, 25 and 6. In the wilderness, God makes a statute and an ordinance for his people. And there was he, tested. We all are tested.
Yeah.
All these bad times that we have, what we think hard times are, is only a test.
That's right.
All the time, we've been tested. If you diligently heal the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his comments and keep all his statutes. That's a great way to think.
Amen.
It even makes you happy. Even in the bad times. Even in the bad. I have brought on the Egyptian, for I am the Lord who heals you.
Amen.
Okay, God is a healing God. Along with all this misery that you may go through and I may go through, we receive our blessings at the end. Some people don't understand about the end. The end is like a new beginning. In the church, it's a new start. We're going to heaven where there's everything. Some people don't agree with that. You know, they want money, they want things, they want all this luxury stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they look to the luxury before they do anything else. Where Even if the Lord call you today, not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. A lot of people don't accept that as being a good thing. they always try to depend on self. Well, self won't get us there. We'll get there. That won't get us. That will not get us. And going back to Job again, in Job 7:1-2, does not man have a hard service on the earth, or not his days like those of the hired man? Most true. Like a slave looking for the evening shade, for the evening shadow, or a hired man waiting eagerly for his wage. You know, I think when he's talking about the wage, he's talking about the wage of sin and death. Not a spiritual, it's death. It's not a bad thing to go back to where you came, from. Job was the only one that went through. It seemed like it was more than he could bear, but it wasn't. It wasn't. Some believe Job was sinless, but it's not the same thing. You can be sinful and still be blameless. If you have to learn how to handle your sin the way God tells you to, eventually Job had learned how to handle his sin. Amen?
Amen.
So in that sense, he was blameless. He committed sin, as it said, but he knew how to, he was like David. We all know David was in prayer. He believed in prayer. He believed in giving his over to God. We must turn it over. That's all according to the scripture, as Job took on his life, so well, he took care of it so well, so did David. And in the end, all of this stuff that was passed on. All that stuff that was passed on, that he went through, and that all the stuff he needed in his journey, I could say. But he was a willing man. He was a God-fearing man. He feared God, which is the most important thing. Fear of God. A fear of God. Going back to, we'll go back again and go to First John 6:30. There was a day when the Son of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence come thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and for walking up and down. You know, the devil, only thing he does is run around and he watches, and as you can see, he picked the one he wanted to terrorize. I don't think he wanted to really pick Job, but the Lord made that possible. So he took Job. He did Job an awful way. In that, I'd like to say that as church, as we are church members, I think we need to believe in God, believe in what God can do.
Amen.
For us.
Amen.
I would like to share not only that, but being able to turn over everything. I don't mean the bigger things, the smaller things. Turn them over to Him.
That's right.
Let Him handle. He's the one. I was listening this morning, and we was talking coming over. Well, they were talking coming over. I was just listening. But they was talking about the same thing this morning, but in a different way. Sometimes turning over is hard to do. It's hard to do. I don't know why it could be so hard today. I heard a question was said about, what was it? They was talking about turning things over. Some people don't want to really turn things over. But in the end, we all praise the same Lord.
Amen.
And
say,
amen. I want to ask everyone to somehow make it in your best interest to give stuff over to the Lord. Give it over. He wants it. You know, He needs it. He needs everything He gives. But that's the best thing you can give one of them. Love, peace, love, prosperity. We can go with all of that. Well, I'm going to end this. Give me a second. I know that thou canst do everything, that can do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that has counsel without knowledge? You know, you might think that you don't nobody see this but you, but God's looking.
Amen.
God's looking. He's always looking. He's always there.
Amen.
You know, you can't have that. You may as well turn it over. And other order that I understood not, things too wonderful for me. That was Job. That was Job speaking. You know, even after everything was taken from Job, Job finally got old, came to his righteous old age. You know, Job lived for about four generations of his children, sons, sons. And that's something to succeed there, all in the sun. But Job never gave up. He moved on and on. And then Job was returned everything plus. He got all of that back. And I want to say that we should be along that same line. What you think you're losing now, you get it back. What you think you're giving up now, you're going to get it back.
Right.
It's all going to come back. So we have to be studying deep in prayer.
Amen.
Okay, I'd like to close this with a prayer. Right here. Father, we come to you today. We come to you today in church, and we want to pray and thank you for all the things that you do. Father, help me to be a better person, a better person of God, a better person all the way around. And I want you to bless everyone in this church right now. Bless everyone. Make it as Job. At the end, everything will return to both of them. Amen.
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 That's all I got. Now, I'm going to turn it over to Tim. I know he's going to straighten up well. You got that?
I got that.
Yeah. He's going to straighten up when I messed up.
You didn't mess up.
I had that little thing. Come on up. Come on in. Come on in. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That little space inside of all of us, God put in there when He made us. That we can't fill. We don't have that ability. And then that little space that He put in there, actually, it should be considered a big place because God's not little. Was meant for God to live in our lives and lead us to where He wants us to be. I titled my sermon, since I'm a smart aleck, beginning and the end and everything in the middle. And when I said that, I know that Linda probably went, oh no. He's never going to shut up. Let me read from Genesis chapter 1. But before we get there, there was just one I wanted to read, a little short one, because I love the way John put this in John chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made by Him, and without Him not anything was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Look at the way John puts that. Gives us an insight to what God is, even though we really don't have a clue. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, yep, there's God. But if it doesn't say it right, if it doesn't say it right here inside of you, you're missing the point. I know I many times have thought, how much better my life would have been if when I was younger I stayed on the path. How much I'd missed out on. Maybe that's true. But I wouldn't be here today, and I wouldn't have the knowledge I have today. I wouldn't have the experiences I had today. And God took me to every one of those places and beat my every time I messed up. I was like the small child, continuously tells fibs that you don't know what to do with. God corrects me. Eventually, I guess I got enough wax on the back of the head. Now I'm learning instead of just existing. Genesis chapter 1. Now, I can stand here and read all of these, and I know Linda did a really nice job of printing them all out in that. But we've all read it before. God created it all in 6 days. And on the sixth day, He took a break. And He set up the Sabbath for us. We're meant to toil 6 days a week. Pick them up, put them down. Pick them up, put them down. Now, whether you're at work or if you're home on a Saturday, and you're out in the backyard raking leaves, we're meant to work and toil for 6 days. And on the seventh day, kick it and praise it with God and to God. So many of us want to go, well, I'm off on Saturday. I'll spend the entire day in front of the tube with a box of Fritos and some chili dip. You're missing out on what you could have experienced at work. Now, sometimes for me, raising that box of Fritos up to my lips is almost a lot of work myself. But I don't think that's what it is. The reason it's so important, what happens in Genesis, I'll make very clear. Now we'll go back to Revelation. This one I will read because this is pretty good stuff. And in Revelations 19, starting with verse 11, if you have your books with you, I'm going to read this. You got it up on the board here. Can you get to that?
I had 22. Aha! 21.
See, this is what happens when I am an idiot. I'll just read it.
Awesome.
Or if you got it with you, you can go to it. Because this is the most important part where Jesus comes out. Or the Son of God, or the Word of God, comes out on his white horse and does amen. Does say amen. It's really important because it's so supernatural. This isn't a guy on the road to Damascus walking with sandals on his feet. This isn't the Mary Magdalene that washed his feet. This isn't John that caught him in the wilderness. This is none of those things that are easily explainable by our deep brains that we have as human beings. This is a supernatural event. But in God's case, a very natural event. And they saw in heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. In his righteousness he doth judge the same and make war. Woo! Thump us on the head, he's going to come out and do it. His eyes were aflame, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written on his that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dripped in blood. Remember that blood he dropped up for us on the cross of Calvary? God being manifest in flesh, God in the skin, decided to take on our inadequacies, our sins, our unrighteousness, and all of the horrible sins against God that we take on, thinking we know better. He took it on. And he says somewhere towards the end, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now imagine that, the Son of God saying this. Well, imagine you're the Son of God and you're going to take a thump for all that sin. The amount of wrath that God can thump down on somebody's head, he's taking it all. It wasn't nails that held Jesus on that cross. It was his love for us. Because he could have made them nails pop out across the room, got down and go, no, I'm not doing this for you guys. But he did it. He didn't hesitate to do it. He laid it down. He loosed the keys of death from the devil and gave us hope. All we got to do is say, yes, you're God's Son. And we believe you did this for us. That's all we got to do. And then live the life, which is a little bit more. But once you get into it, leading that life becomes easier. The things that you used to consider sin, that you used to do on a regular basis, the things you went to, the places you were, the places you inhabited, things you didn't become all of a sudden no more the norm, but now they're repugnant to you. The things you couldn't stand to do that you used to just do so readily. That's me. My wife will tell you, we watched the movie the other night. Here comes a scene, and they weren't wearing much clothes. Hand comes up like this. Not her hand, mine. Not because I'm any kind of great richest guy or anything like that. Because I don't need the temptation. I really don't want to be plucking one of my eyeballs out because I only got two. So I'll do it. But those are the things before that I would have. Before. That I don't anymore. That he did all this for us. And he did all this thing so supernaturally, so new, natural for him. Beyond our fallibility, before anything we could consider, our ways are not his ways, his ways is not ours, and it's a good thing, too. I can't think the way God thinks, none of us can. On that glorious day when we stop to the other side, we'll be like, ooh, that's what that was all about. We won't have to ask the questions that we are in our mind now, like Adam and Eve had two boys. Who and their wife? Where'd they come from? They'll be, oh, there's the answer to that. I asked this question to my brother, and he's like, well, you know, this, and then I'm like, okay. But you go in the book of Genesis, and it starts to describe the 7 days in which he created everything. I used to think, well, you know, he's the God that is, wasn't, always will be. How long is it? I tried to rationalize what God does. How many of us do that so much in our life? We go, well, God did this because of that. And God does it this way and that way. And we're trying to second guess God. It says he did it in 6 days. Didn't say he did it 6,000 millennium or anything. I can say 6 days. So, how long did it take him now? 6 days. And why is it so important for us to believe that he could do all of this in 6 days? Anybody got an idea why?
Because he
said something. That's it right there. God can do anything he wants just as quick as he wants. In Revelation, I saw an angel standing on the sun. He cried out loud in a loud voice with all the fowls in the air. Yada, 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 yada. And from his mouth, a blade of sword come from his mouth. And that's how he's going to slay Satan. And that sword comes out. You know what it's going to look like? That's it. Satan gone. Is that so hard for any of us to comprehend? It wasn't me a little bit for a while. Not for God. Satan gone. That'll be it. And even though he'll have us all with him, putting myself with that group pretty heavily there myself, it won't be that hard to believe. He lays it down. He picks us up. I really didn't prepare a lot, although I continued to talk. You all know that, don't you?
Amen.
So I will. No. That's it, though. It is so important to believe that first thing because of the miracle after miracle after miracle after miraculous story after one after another from the book of Genesis all the way through. The miracles he did in the people's lives that were nothing. David was a goat tender. Abraham was just somebody out in the desert walking around and God just happened to think it was cool that made great nations of him. Paul was the biggest sinner you ever saw on 2 feet. I used to say, oh, the biggest sinner you ever saw on 2 feet. I didn't slay no Christians. I didn't torture husbands in front of wives. Paul did that. Beat me on that one. I won't say that ever again. And we'll say praise God.
Amen.
Because what I have left, what I will ever have, doesn't belong to me. It's just on loan. Don, we're going to have an invitation in front here. Anybody's ever not confessed, or if you want to come down and reaffirm. Anything you want to talk and pray about with either the pastor, the minute Larry here, or even with Lynn. Maybe even with me. Don? Huh?